Welcome back to your Divine Office, Praying with Scripture. Let's begin. We'll start praying the Holy Father's monthly intentions, which I think are very important, and they're part of the requirement for the Church's blessing of a plenary indulgence. Now, the Pope's monthly intentions are not always this good, but all the intentions this year, they are just spot on and so powerful and awesome. So this month's intention is for families in crisis. Let us pray that broken families might discover the cure for their wounds through forgiveness, rediscovering each other's gifts, even in their differences. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. All right, you did it. Less than 1 minute, you prayed for the Pope's monthly intentions. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers, for these important prayers for families in crisis. Our Father, glory to you, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, always as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts, or come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord, and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Now we begin praying the Psalms, a vitally important part of the office. So powerful. We'll begin by praying. These words of the Savior teach us the devotion that all should have for the Father, Antiphon 1. Psalm 59, exempting a few verses. Rescue me, God, from my foes. Protect me from those who attack me. Oh, rescue me from those who do evil, and save me from bloodthirsty men. See, they lie in wait for my life. Powerful men band together against me. For no offense, no sin of mine, Lord, for no guilt of mine, they rush to take their stand. Awake, come to my aid and see. O my strength, it is you to whom I turn. For you, O God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me love. These words of the Savior teach us the devotion that all should have for the Father. O God, come to my aid and let me look in triumph on my foes. As for me, I will sing of your strength and each morning acclaim your love. For you have been my stronghold, a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, it is you to whom I turn. For you, O God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me love. glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Indeed, rescue us, Lord. Rescue us from our foes, from those who hurt us, who challenge us unjustly, and from all the things that malign and suppress the flourishing of life you want to give us in Jesus Christ. These words of the Savior teach us the devotion that all should have for the Father. You will suffer in the world, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. Psalm 60. O God, you have rejected us and broken us. You have been angry. Come back to us. You have made the earth quake, torn it open. Repair what is shattered, for it sways. You have inflicted hardships on your people and made us drink a wine that dazzled us. You have given those you who fear you a signal to flee from the enemy's bow. You will suffer in the world, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. I come, O come, O come and deliver your friends. Help with your right hand in reply. From his holy place, God has made this promise. I will triumph and divide the land of Shechem. I will measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh. Ephraim I take for my helmet, Judah for my commander's staff. You will suffer in the world, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. Moab I will use for my washbowl. On Edom I will plant my shoe. Over the Philistines I will shout in triumph. But who will lead me to conquer the fortress? Who will bring me face to face with Edom? Will you utterly reject us, O God, and no longer march with our armies? You will suffer in the world, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. Give us help against the foe, for the help of man is vain. With God we shall do bravely, and he will trample down our foes. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You will suffer in the world, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. King of all the ages, your ways are perfect and true. Revelation 15, 3-4 is our next prayer. Hymn of Adoration. Mighty and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who would dare refuse you honor or the glory due your name, O Lord? Since you alone are holy, all nations shall come and worship in your presence. Your mighty deeds are clearly seen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. King of all the ages, your ways are perfect and true. In honor of Mary's, our mother, loving mother's gifts from Christ our Savior, to be his agent of his love, we pray for all of your intentions. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Just ever briefly, we'll read this short reading for evening prayer, then the longer reading. Reading from the book of James. Declare your sins to one another, and pray for one another, that you may find healing. The fervent petition of a holy man is powerful indeed. My brothers, the case may arise among you of someone straying from the truth, and of another bringing him back. Remember this, the person who brings back a sinner from his way will save his soul from death and cancel a multitude of sins. Beautiful reading. It actually skips a few verses to kind of combine two parts. Beautiful reading. A reading from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. We have this wonderful narrative attached to the law. So this is again two passages that we have kind of combined, 19:1-19 and 20:18-21. The promise of the covenant and the revelation of the Lord on Mount Sinai. In the third month after their departure from the land of Egypt, on its first day, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai. After the journey, from Rephinim to the desert of Sinai, they pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people. Though all the earth is mine, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." That is what you must tell the Israelites. So Moses went and summoned the elders of the people. When he set before them all that the Lord had ordered him to tell them, the people all answered together, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Then Moses brought back to the Lord the response of the people. The Lord also told him, "I am coming to you in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speak with you, they may always have faith in you also." When Moses, then, had reported to the Lord the response of the people, the Lord added, "Go to the people and have them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Make them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. Set limits for the people all around the mountain and tell them, take care not to go up the mountain or even to touch its base. If anyone touches the mountain, he must be put to death. No hand shall touch him. He must be stoned to death or killed with arrows. Such a one, man or beast, must not be allowed to live. Only when the ram's horn resounds may they go up to the mountain." Then Moses came down from the mountain to the people and had them sanctify themselves and wash their garments. He warned them, "Be ready on the third day. Have no intercourse with any woman." On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking and God answering him with thunder. When the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the trumpet blast and the mountain smoking, they all feared and trembled. So they took up a position much farther away and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we shall die." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come to you only to test you and put his fear upon you, lest you should sin." Still the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the crowd where God was. Responsory prayer. If you do what I tell you and keep my covenant, out of all the nations you will be my own possession, dearer to me than any other people. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people God has claimed as his own. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation. From the Treatises Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus, Bishop, The Covenant of the Lord. So this is kind of an interesting thought or an interesting process that is kind of something preached by St. Irenaeus and written down in his book. So again, some elements are so valuable, you might even add to it some other things that he may have missed. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people, "The Lord your God made a covenant on Horeb. He made this covenant, not with your fathers, but with you." Why did God not make this covenant with their fathers? Because the law is not aimed at the righteous. Their fathers were righteous. They had the power of the Decalogue implanted in their hearts and in their souls. That is, they loved the God who made them and did nothing unjust against their neighbor. For this reason, they did not need to be admonished by written rebukes. They had the righteousness of the law in their hearts. When this righteousness and love for God had passed into oblivion and been extinguished in Egypt, God had necessarily to reveal himself through his own voice. Out of his great love for men, he led the people out of Egypt in power, so that man might once again become God's disciple and follower. He made them afraid as they listened, to warn them not to hold their Creator in contempt. He fed them with manna, that they might receive spiritual food. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says, "He fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that you might understand that man will not live by bread alone, but will live by every word of God coming from the mouth of God." He commanded them to love himself and trained them to practice righteousness toward their neighbor, so that man might not be unrighteous or unworthy of God. Through the Decalogue, he prepared man for friendship with himself and for harmony with his neighbor. This was to man's advantage, though God needed nothing from man. This raised man to glory, for it gave him what he did not have, friendship with God. But it brought no advantage to God, for God did not need man's love. Man did not possess the glory of God, nor could he attain it by any other means than through obedience to God. This is why Moses said to the people, "Choose life that you may live and your descendants too. Love the Lord your God, hear his voice, and hold fast to him. For this is life for you and length of days." This was the life that the Lord was preparing man to receive when he spoke in person and gave the words of the Decalogue for all alike to hear. These words remain with us as well. They were extended and amplified through his coming in the flesh, but not annulled. God gave to the people separately through Moses the commandments that enslave. These were precepts suited to their instruction or their condemnation. As Moses said, "The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the precepts of righteousness and of judgment." The precepts that were given them to enslave and to serve as a warning have been canceled by the new covenant of freedom. The precepts that belong to man's nature and to freedom and to all alike have been enlarged and broadened through the adoption of sons. God has ennobled man, so generously and so bountifully, to know him as Father, to love him with his whole heart, and to follow his word unfailingly. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Moses, the servant of the Lord, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights to prepare himself to receive the law of the Lord. Moses went up Mount Sinai to the Lord and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights to prepare himself to receive the law of the Lord. Now, we could comment a little about that idea that the ancestors of the people in Egypt were more righteous than they, and that they had a better grasp on what we'd call the stable dispositions that ought to be implanted in us through years of training in our families and in our churches. Needless to say, yeah, you don't have to like totally believe that, but I think he makes a really valid point when he says that there is a big social difference between different generations, the ones that experienced Jacob and Abraham and the ones that lived in Egypt. But yeah, of course, I know Protestants will often remind us, yes, original sin was there and it caused a lot of problems along the way, regardless of whether they had a good example from their parents and such and so forth, which is also a valid thing you might add on. But I also think there's something very true about that. Anyway, he had a lot of good thoughts in there to help us, that the preaching of the church has kind of interpreted these things as it retells the story of Scripture. It helps a lot. They would have arrested Jesus, but they feared the people who regarded him as a prophet. Again, it harkens back to the gospel for today's Mass. "My soul proclaims the great..." This is the canticle that Mary sings or prays to God in Luke's gospel. And it's always one of our last prayers in evening prayer. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant, for he has remembered his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. They would have arrested Jesus, but they feared the people who regarded him as a prophet. Let us turn to the Father through Jesus to intercede. The Savior of mankind, by dying, destroyed death, and by rising again, restored life. Let us humbly ask him, sanctify your people redeemed by your blood. Redeemer of the world, give us a greater share of your passion through a deeper spirit of repentance, so that we may share the glory of your resurrection. May your mother, comfort of the afflicted, protect us. May we console others as you console us. In their trials, enable your faithful people to share in your passion, and so reveal in their lives your saving power. You humbled yourself by being obedient, even to accepting death, death on a cross. Give all who serve you the gifts of obedience and patient endurance. Transform the bodies of the dead to be like your own in glory, and bring us at last into their fellowship. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. We pray for Bill, we pray for Henry, and we pray for Julia. Each of them has individual intentions that God remembers, and he knows what you need. So we pray for them, and we gather all of our prayers, spoken and unspoken, into one, as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Amen. Merciful Father, may our acts of penance bring us your forgiveness, open our hearts to your love, and prepare us for the coming feast of the resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. All right. Again, I did Lectio Divina this morning, and the passage that I picked, or the passage that it came up providentially in my pray-through of 1 Corinthians, was the lawsuits against with unbelievers, chapter 6. How can any one of you with a case against another dare to bring it to the unjust for judgment? Is the beginning of the passage that I just read. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. So if you want to do that on your own, do the Lectio Divina prayer, attentive prayer, that's also great. We prayed for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, which were quite powerful. So we're just going to ask God for a partial or plenary indulgence for this time of reflection, and prayer with Scripture in the Church's office. And ask God to grant this to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will offer mine for the soul in purgatory. Amen.